Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Angelos. Pleasure to be with you this week. You know, through the month of October, we were celebrating Financial Planning Month. And as we're beginning the month of November, I thought it would be appropriate if we really kind of ended October and started November with spending time on what I refer to as the purpose of money in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us about the talents, and it talks about the three people, and they were given those talents each according to their ability, just like we're given our compensation, each according to our ability. And then it's what we do with that compensation, those talents of what we do, how we impact our lives, the lives of others, our community, that really reflects who we are. So as we're going to get into our show today, I'd like to welcome back one of my co-hosts, one of my partners over at CNA Financial Group, Dave Suki. Dave, welcome back. Always great to see you.
Always great to be here, Frank. Thanks again.
So, Dave, you know, it's an interesting topic when we talk about money and purpose and things of that nature. And, you know, at the end of the day is you can't live without money. You know, and there'll be some, oh, you can, but it's like you're not going to have a very good quality of life typically,
right?
You know, unless you have, you know, income. And, you know, it always starts with, you know, every day, all of us, and I shouldn't say all of us, most of us go to work. And what we do is we're exchanging our time for a check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're, you know, take 8 hours, 10 hours, 6 hours, you know, 12 hours in the course of a day. I put that time in exchange for a paycheck. And I do that for a reason, which is I get my income so that I can have a certain quality of life. You know, and then what we do is we look at what we, you know, can do with that money. And Dave, you know, maybe I'll have you just highlight these, you know, which are, you know, the four highlights of, okay, here's what happens. We got paid at the end of the week or the end of the month, however we get paid. Now we have a decision to make. So, you know, maybe we'll just take a few minutes talking about the decision.
Well, Frank, we all know, guys, they get paid at the end of the week, they cash that check, and they got money for the weekend, right? I mean, that's a lot of people, Frank. They're living that paycheck to paycheck, and, you know, they spend it, right? So number one is typically people spend money. You know, if it's not spent, it gets saved, right? If it's not saved, if after it's saved, maybe it gets invested.
And if we stay with that for a second, there's a difference for our listeners,
yes,
between investing and speculating. And sometimes, you know, there are people that end up speculating and they think they're investing, but they're really speculating. And that's typically, you know, when you're getting a haircut and the guy cutting your hair goes, hey, I got a great stock for you, something like that. And Dave here is like snookering only because for our listeners, I don't have a lot of hair. So he knows that I'm not spending a lot of time in a barbershop. But, you know, when we look at it, is there's a difference between, again, investing versus speculating. And the whole idea is to invest, not to speculate.
That's right. That's right. So you spend
it. The fourth.
Yeah, you save it. Okay, you invest it, and then this is different in a lot of people's lives. We know where it should fit in our lives, and we, you know, it fits there. But you give it away. You're a steward of it. You tithe it. You give it to causes that you believe in. Other than that, Frank, I don't see many people burning their money or, you know, driving it all, throwing it away in the water or, you know, putting it out the window. It's really one of those four things is what happens with the currency that we call money.
You know, so if we're staying with that, you know, one of the claims to fame that, you know, I always say that as an organization that we try to help our people with is, how do you save more without living less? And it's a balancing act. It's almost as if you saw the scales of justice, you know, so if you can kind of envision that, you know, for our listeners. And on one scale, we have what we refer to as our lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
Okay? On the other side of that, we have our future lifestyle or savings.
Yep.
And so what happens is that the more that we think that we have to put towards that future, the less that we're going to have for enjoyment today. And so what happens is sometimes we get conflicted. The real key to this is to change the flow of how money works through our lives. And when I say to change the flow a little bit, so, you know, when we think in terms of saving and spending and so forth, the flow has to change. And the flow has to change from where I spend my money, then I do all the things I want to do, and then whatever's left, I save it.
Yep.
Okay? I have to change that around and do it differently. I've got to save first and then spend later. And, Dave, you even have a better way of explaining it because, you know, what I say, you know, for the future and so forth, I mean the whole package, which is stewardship, savings, then spending. And Dave, I know that you know you've been like coaching your kids, and we coach clients about this. So maybe just take a little time and talk about your rule of thumb.
Yeah, but so this is through years of like being around, you know, mentors in my life, Frank, you and other people that you learn principles from them, and you realize that you know it's important to give some money away. It's important to support causes. It's important to you know support your churches, right? All the things that we support. So I've been teaching my kids, and I've been practicing this, which is 10-20-70. Which is 10% you give away, you know, 20% you save. That's so I have future capacity to give away, and then for the next, the 70 is the lifestyle. That's what gets spent, you know, for all the different things in our lives. So I've been teaching kids, because they're our future. Those habits will be effective. They'll have different results than maybe most Americans, Frank, because we see this right in the research. Most people don't have much money saved at all, Frank, and they feel like they'd like to. Saver, they'd like to give money away, but they're caught in the, you know, in that squeeze because they've got too much lifestyle going on.
You know, it's interesting as you're saying that, Dave. I met with one of our other advisors recently. We were talking about different strategies for helping people to really get in that habit. And one unique way of doing it would be to not do a direct deposit into the checking account of which you live out of.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea behind that is that, you know, if you were to set up, you know, and we'll call it a wealth coordination account, which is, you know, just a name I pulled out of the air. And the whole concept of setting up with this wealth coordination account is just a step in between money getting to your checking account for spending. So if you deposited your entire check in there, and then from there you pulled out whatever percentage it is that you're going to live on for your budget. And when I say your budget, or we'll make it sound nicer, your spending plan.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so as an example, if you looked and you said, okay, you know, my mortgage is $2,000 in the month, my utilities are, you know, whatever, $500, my car payment is X, and let's say in the course of the month it actually costs someone $5,000 or $7,000, whatever that number is to live, the idea would be is that you deposit the check into the one account, and you have electronically that budgeted amount then transferred to the checking account of which you're living out of.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in doing that, and what we're doing is we're changing the flow of money. The money that's getting left in the account is then for stewardship, which is charity, and savings. But if we can really get used to living on that $5,000 or $7,000 or whatever that amount is that we're budgeted, what's going to happen is this, is that if we stay with that, we'll tend to live on what we're getting deposited. Well, here's what's also going to happen. Next year when we get a pay increase, so let's say I got a 2% pay increase, or let's say that I got a bonus, okay, or $500, $1,000, $5,000, because I'm not eyeing that in a checking account, okay, it's sitting in the other account, I'm not changing my spending habits. So at the end of the year, what should have occurred is that if I were to look, I would say, wow, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
I saved my pay increase because I didn't change, you know, how I was doing that. In addition to that, I also saved my bonuses. Maybe I had some incentives through work. Maybe I had some reimbursements for car travel or whatever that the company put in direct deposits.
Here's one, Frank, I'll add to that that comes up this time of year. I think it's current. People that contribute to retirement plans, 401ks through work. Those that are saving, let's say, the maximum in there, they typically hit those numbers this time of year, and now they have a paycheck that maybe has a few extra $1,000. I mean, you know, $500 to $1,000 a pay.
Exactly.
And now that can get lost in the shuffle as opposed to, you know, going into that account.
Right. And if we were to, you know, do it the way that we're describing, which is it goes in that wealth coordination account, you know, which isn't, it just means another checking account. Okay, before it goes into the account of which I live out of and the one that I'm paying my bills out of, that money is actually being taken off the table and set aside in order to change the flow and the habit.
Yeah.
Because the habit that most people have is that we get paid, it goes in the account, I pay all my bills, and then whatever's left then I save. The challenge is that because I see it in the account, I know it's in the account, and I've paid all the bills, I might tend to say, oh, you know, we'll go out to dinner a little bit more. Maybe we'll go and we'll spend a little extra here, or we'll spend a little extra there. And what I started doing is more of what I call that emotional spending. Not that I needed to do it, but I did that emotional spending. Felt good in the moment, but I lost the money forever. And so what occurs, you know, when we're doing that is you know, we're actually putting money in the right place in our life, you know, which is we changed the habit. We went and we're utilizing, Dave, as you had described, that 10, 20, 70 concept, and we're living off of the 70, and the 30 we're trying to capture before we ever it ever got into our hands.
That's right. Yeah, 'cause Frank, money saved is you know, for future consumption, right? We've learned that. Or you speak often about there's one or two things that happen in all of our lives when we exit the workforce, or one or two ways, I should say. It's either voluntarily, on our own accord.
We'll call that retirement.
Call that retirement, typically, or involuntary, which is, we may call that a lot of things. Life events, we tend to say.
Exactly. And life tends to, you know, throw those curveballs at all of us.
Yep. So having that discipline in your life will show up then. And you know, I always say the future will call our bluffs. So we have to be prepared for that. And this is an easy, but I think, understandable way to get started. Like some people say, how do I get started? Well, there's a little shift to help you get started.
And, you know, for some of our listeners, you know, we always look, and I always say there's, you know, there's people out there, I call them the rugged individualists. You know, they're mortals, which they always look and they go, well, that'll always be somebody else, never going to be me.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, you know, we keep putting off and putting off and putting off. And the end result is if we were to look at some of the national studies, I mean, I think the average 401k has less than like $50,000 or about $50,000 in it. And the average American, again, is, you know, saving, you know, like 5% of their pay or less. And the reason why that's occurring is because we don't think it's us. And we also, you know, and we talked about this in, you know, over the past month, we also get into what I call lifestyle addictions. And the lifestyle addiction is too much house, too much car, too much of anything is not a good thing.
Yep.
And what's happening is that we're living up to our income. Dave, you had a great term. You and I did a talk the other day. What was that law that they call
Parkinson's
it?
Law. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe take a minute and spend, you know, explain that to our listeners.
That human behavior, human beings will live, their expenses will rise to meet their income.
Interesting.
That's a Parkinson's law. I mean, you actually, first of all, you got to be aware that that happens. I mean, and just look around, you'll see it happening. But we're by nature, we're wired that way to rise that expense column as our income goes up. And we have to really be conscious of that going on.
And if we think in terms of the process that we were just describing to everybody, think of how that would kind of control that a little bit. So if I had money going into that first account, you know, which captures it, and I kept my budget the same, and periodically I might bump it up just a little bit, when I'm getting those pay increases, if I'm not focusing on that, but I'm focusing on what's in the checking account of what I paid my bills out of and so forth, the tendency is more money is going to be left in the accumulation, the wealth coordination account, that I can do things with charity. I can put money into investments and into savings, and I can have a much more secure future.
Frank, you know, we use extreme examples. I mean, I think I was reading about lottery winners, and like over 70% of them wind up broke. And if you think about professional athletes or entertainers, we've all read those stories, made millions of dollars and wind up bankrupt. And you're saying, how did they wind up bankrupt? They didn't do it on purpose. It's like, oh, they said, I'm going to go get bankrupt. But what occurred was the habits. The discipline wasn't there. So, you know, some people are just doing that at a much slower pace. Like, they don't know they're doing it, but by not saving properly and doing that, they're going to wind up bankrupt maybe. Or maybe they're one bad day away from being bankrupt. You know, a bad phone call from your boss or a, you know, an accident in your life, and all of a sudden your financial house is falling apart. So the things you're teaching are valuable just to get started, whether you're 25 years old or 55 years old. The principle works. The discipline works.
You know, it was interesting. We had a meeting earlier today with some of our key advisors, and one of them, I haven't seen this commercial yet, but there was a commercial evidently that just came out. And in the commercial, and we won't mention what company it is, but the gentleman is in his car, he's driving, and he goes, oh, my life expectancy is, and I think it was, he might have said 17 years or something like that. And he goes, unfortunately, the life expectancy of my money is 13 years. So what happens is, you know, he's projecting forward, or he's had some calculations done which are showing that he's going to run out of money, which is the greatest fear for people that are retired. You know, and it's, you know, if you think in terms of what kind of retirement is that, you know, where you live in fear and worry, you know, and it's not a good environment to be in.
Not what you envisioned when you heard of the golden years, right, Frank?
Yeah. It's a great point. And I was at another seminar just to give, like, perspective for listeners, and they were telling the story of, you know, there's a group of people in a car, and they're driving across the desert. Now, halfway through the desert, they realize they're going to run out of gas. So one of the guys in the car goes, well, let's go as fast as we can, and maybe we can coast the rest of the day, the way. Right. Another one in the car goes, no, that's crazy. Let's just drive, you know, slower and preserve, go the rest,
right,
of the way.
Yeah.
And then another one was, well, shut off everything in the car, shut off the air conditioning and everything else, and let's – and when you think in terms of what that means, okay, that's how people – are living their retirement because they didn't get in the right habits early.
Right.
Some of them are saying, hey, let's spend it because I don't think I'm going to be here.
Yep.
Some of them are saying, oh, my, I have to really conserve and be scared and worry. Some of them, you know, are sitting there and going, well, I'm just going to dribble it out and always worry. And the reality is that's not what people work their whole lifetime for.
Nope. And, Frank, you've talked about it for years, financial balance.
That's it.
Yeah. So – enjoy for today, but prepare for tomorrow.
Exactly. Right? So as we, you know, are going to work, you know, on this conversation about the purpose of money in our lives, you know, and as we're wrapping up this week's show, the first step in the purpose of money in your life is really to get a handle on your money. So for all of our listeners, you've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Co-host with me today, David Suki. Dave, thanks again for being here.
Yeah, pleasure, Frank.
And this has been Frank Angelos. If you have questions, you could write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736, or email us at info@ivrw.com. Thank you and have a blessed week.